Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First things first, the GOAT continued to turn back the clock in the opener. 40s Schmorties, was he the best quarterback in the league in week one? I made that word up. We caught a glimpse of Justin Fields Sunday night. Would the Bears be making a big mistake sticking with Andy Dalton over the rookie in week two? And at last check, it was Wednesday, which means Nick and the committee have new NFL tiers for us. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a fantastic edition of First Things First alongside Nick and Broussard and my guy Kevin Wilds. I'm Jenna Wolf. All right, Nick, who will be writing the angriest letter to you and the committee this morning? Who? I got to hear.
Well, actually, you know what? The committee is going to write me a letter angry that you guys keep glossing this as Nick's tears. It is a collaborative effort. The committee deserves credit. Can we please adjust that to the committee week two NFL tears?
That's on us, Nick. That is, you're right. That is on us. It will not happen again. So we will get to all that letter writing and committees in a second. First, we start with number 12, Aaron Rodgers. Coming off just a brutal season opening blowout loss to the Saints, the reigning MVP only managed 133 passing yards, tossed two picks. Rodgers sat down for his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, waxed poetic about the team's disastrous week one showing. Take a listen.
Is there any reason for any Packers fans to think anything differently or worry about anything? You have the utmost confidence in this team, this roster, and yourself still, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's why I'm back. You know, I love this, love the team, feel good about everything that we've done in the off season, training camp. You know, I feel like, it was solid. We had good practices. I know that, you know, a game like that allows all these speculation to come into play. Should we have played in the preseason? You know, should we have done this? Should we have done that? And we got to deal with it because we just got our asses whooped. That's fine, you know. But, you know, what's going to happen down the line is going to happen. And we know how this thing goes. It's a cycle. And right now we're taking it on the chin, which we should. And pretty soon it'll be flipped. So,
hell yeah.
But me personally, I'm doing great. You know, I'm confident and happy and excited and love these guys. Competitor, like I said, frustrated about my performance and our performance, but this game is about how you respond to negativity, usually more than how you're hailed for your successes.
The old high camera mount in Aaron Rodgers' house. So, Nick, you heard what Aaron Rodgers had to say. What did you make of how he looked back on the game?
Yeah, listen, his comments are fine. He didn't say anything incendiary. He didn't say anything particularly insightful. Those are, you know, what's the word? Pablum, I think, is what Broussard would call it. Just regular, you know, expected comments in his weekly hit with McAfee. But exactly. It is now going to be fully pressurized on Rodgers about how he plays and how the team responds. Not so much Monday, but in the weeks that follow. Listen, they're going to beat the Lions because if there's one thing we know about the Packers and the Lions is they play twice a year and Green Bay whoops them every single time. So we know they will. That is their early season bye. We know they'll win that game. But then after that, they have two teams that are feeling great right now. Two teams whose defenses are feeling great right now, with the exception maybe a couple minutes at the end of week one in San Francisco and Pittsburgh. And Rodgers' trump card all offseason and in every media availability he had, Broussard, was he always threw in there, or very often threw in there, yeah, and I mean, you know, they draft my replacement, and, you know, I went out and I You know, I won league MVP, and so I thought maybe I'd get a contract extension. And so, after the year we had where, you know, I thought I played really well, thought it was one of the better years of my career, I thought I'd get, you know, a contract extension. But that doesn't play when you were the worst quarterback in the league this week. And so he now has an added level of pressure on himself that if they fall to the Niners, who knocked him out of the NFC Championship game a couple years ago, or if they fall to the Steelers, or God forbid if they lose both of those games and they're 1-3, the noise is going to become deafening. And so I do think his comments were totally fine, Broussard, but I think he now has an extra level of pressure that he and the team must play excellent over the rest of September in order to really quiet it and say, hey, you know who else lost to the Saints 38-3 last year? Tampa Bay. How'd that end up for them? They won the Super Bowl. They can flip it into that, but they need to win weeks 3 and 4 to do that.
Well, I agree with you, Nick, about Aaron's comments. Like, I think they were right on the money. If I'm coming off a bad loss, I want my leader to say, hey, it's just week one, we'll be fine. It's early, okay? I want him to say, we've got to learn from this loss, and we will learn from this loss. I want him to say those types of things, like, we'll show what we're made of by how we respond to this adversity. So I'm here for all of that. But guys, I've been married for more than a quarter of a century. Yes, I said it. And in my 26 years of marriage, I have learned that it is not always what you say, but it's how you say it. And look, I'm getting tired of that. Aaron Rodgers is just too cool. He's too calm. He's too unbothered. He is. I'm sorry. Look, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying this just based on yesterday's interview or just based on how he's been acting since training camp.
No, you've been saying.
I think this is one of his weaknesses. I think this is one of the weaknesses of Aaron Rodgers. It's one of those lack of intangibles, if you will. I need some urgency.
Wow.
I need some energy. I need some fire, a little bit. And look, he had arguably the best year of his career last year, right? Last year. And what was it? He was angry. He wasn't cool. He wasn't calm. He wasn't unbothered. He was angry. He was ticked off. And he went out there and lit the league on fire. I need to see that from Aaron Rodgers because the team takes on the personality of the quarterback. And I just think he's a little too cool, Wiles. Give me some energy.
I disagree, Broussard. And I wish I should have gotten and talked to you maybe when you were a young man as a teenager. Because here's the number one piece of advice I give to my kids and any of the children or teenagers watching the show. First of all, your old buddy Kevin Wilds is a pacifist. And violence is never the answer. But if you're ever in a bar fight, you know the one guy you don't want to fight? The calm guy. Never fight the calm guy. If you're getting fired up, you're like, yeah, let's get it on, buddy. And Russ is like, yes, let's go outside. You're like, you know what? Let me just buy you a drink. The calm guy, Broussard, is the most dangerous guy out there. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is. To me, it wasn't the fact that he was lackadaisical. It was the fact that he had so much confidence in himself. He was like, yeah, we're ready to go. So I don't need any more energy from him. And I'm going to also reject one of Nick's points. Nick said he called Aaron Rodgers' comments pablum. I'm like, buddy, you are way off. Perhaps one of your worst takes ever, because we got the answer to why Aaron Rodgers threw his red zone interception. We were all like, hey, what the heck? He never throws red zone interception. Broussard's like, well, maybe the offseason. He said he got the old 1-2 shot, the old double jeopardy downtown. So that's why he got a little bit thrown off. He said he used to wear a cup when he was a child. He decided not to wear a cup anymore in football. And that's the reason he threw the interception. So the fact that that won't happen ever again, because I don't think that anyone will, you know, I think that's just a bad coincidence for Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't pablum, and he was super calm, and I loved it. Thought it was great.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure what the justification is for then the second interception, because that was clean pocket. Nobody was anywhere around him or any parts of his body, and he just flung it up there. But listen, folks are allowed to have bad football games. But I just want to ask Broussard a question. Broussard, but for Rodgers to do what you're advocating for would be a total departure from the personality that he has shown forever. We remember, God, it was at this point, what, 6-7 years ago when they had the bad start and he had the famous RELAX press conference. Remember?
Right.
Told everyone calm down, everyone relax, and that worked. So don't you think, like, while I agree last year he was ticked off and he was awesome, his previous best season ever was the 15-1 year when they were the defending Super Bowl champions. So he was the opposite of ticked off, and he had a spectacular season. So don't you think, like, at this point in his career, he is who he is? Like, what you're advocating for would be such a change in personality that it's unrealistic?
He absolutely is who he is. All right. And but my point is this. I think this is an intangible that he lacks. I mean, you say work.
Okay.
I say fall short. I mean, this is a guy that until Pat Mahomes, everybody thought was the best to ever throw the football. Why hasn't he been to a Super Bowl with a pretty good team in 10 or 11 years? I'm just saying, when it gets to those big moments, that's when the little things show up. And I think the team needs to see a little more energy. I don't want him going crazy. Don't get wild, but just speak with a little more fire, a little more urgency. All right? And that's all I'm asking for. And Wilds, I get he's into the mental health space now and all that. That's great for life. But when it comes to football, sometimes you got to be a little bit different. We know a lot of our great athletes are one way off the field, but another way on the field when you step in those lines. So I just want to see a little more fire personally.
Look, this could all be for naught if he comes out and lights it up in week two. So we'll see how he do. Back talking that guy, a different number 12, Tampa Tom. Was he the very best quarterback in the league in week one? Oh, we discuss next. First things first. And coming up in 15 minutes, Nick's going to break out his post-week one NFL tiers. He lays it out. Broussard disagrees. Wilds files a petition. It is great television. Do not miss it. First things first. Time now for drawing a blank. Talking Tom Brady this morning after Pro Football Focus ranked Brady as the top-rated quarterback in week one. How about that? Brady led the game-winning drive, finished with 379 yards. Four touchdowns, did throw two picks, but Chris Broussard, the best quarterback performance of week one was blank.
Well, Brady was spectacular, but I have to go with Kyler Murray. All right, look, and I'll admit, I started sleeping on Kyler. I was a big fan last season and really throughout his whole career, the beginning of his career. And then I fell off of him a little bit because of how last season ended. But as many people were saying, and I now agree, it was the shoulder. He was sensational in game one. And I get it. They were playing a Titans defense that is horrific. However, he threw well from the pocket. He was comfortable there. He threw well on the move. And when the defenders got pressure, he was as elusive as Lamar Jackson. All right, his passes were the two touchdown passes to Christian Kirk. I wish we could show them. Outstanding, right on the money, thrown only where Kirk could catch them. The last one, a back shoulder throw where the defender had no chance of getting it. Kyler Murray, man, look, this dude is awesome, and he was the best quarterback last week.
Okay, Kyler was sensational. I'm not taking anything away from him. But unfortunately, my guy Patrick Mahomes has now entered the Beyonce territory of taken for granted, where it's like every year, it's like, who's the most beautiful woman in the world? It's like, oh, the same it's been for the last 15 years, but you give a new name because people are sick of saying the same. Every single number there is better than what Kyler did, and it was against a better opponent, and it was in a comeback victory, and he had the signature play of the weekend. Well, I'm sorry. He had four touchdowns. Kyler had five. My apologies. Kyler did have the interception. Brady, on the other hand, definitely the best day of anyone who threw two picks. But Wilds, this is less about Mahomes versus Kyler.
You know, neither one was his fault.
And this is more about the no interceptions ever Tom Brady's fault. It's always someone else's fault. We know that. Those are the rules. Other quarterbacks throw picks.
Tom Brady has picks happen to him where he just happens to be the one who released the football. But I don't want to argue about Brady or Kyler or Mahomes. Wilds, these analytics folks that I got in a street fight with during the NBA season, the infiltration of week one NFL, this is what I had to deal with yesterday. Yesterday, I'm just scrolling through my Twitter feed, and I see somebody say, hey, you know, according to QBR, who was the best quarterback in week one? Teddy Bridgewater. I'm like, huh? So I reply, I'm like, you realize that's kind of an indictment of QBR. And the response was, no, let me explain what. Teddy Bridgewater was the best quarterback. Oh, and then Pro Football Focus. You know where they had Mahomes' performance? Ranked 7th. A touch ahead of Kirk Cousins, whose performance got them a fat, steaming L against the Bengals. And if that's not enough, my folks, my people, who, Jenna, make that Bible every year that I read, Football Outsiders, they're like, hey, hot off the presses, week one DVOA, top 12 teams in the league after week one. Included on that, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Carolina Panthers, the Houston Texans, not included in the top 12, the Kansas City Chiefs. Folks, sometimes you type in the numbers into your fancy little algorithm, you see what it spits out, and you're like, oh, my algorithm is stupid and broken. And if you say, hey, Patrick Mahomes is the 7th best quarterback this week, Teddy Bridgewater was the best, and the Chiefs are the 16th best team after 1 week, your algorithms suck. They're terrible. I'm this close to just becoming an eye test guy. They're going to push me off the edge.
You're an eye test guy.
I'm real close, buddy.
You're an eye test guy.
I'm no longer
the analytics guy. You're the eye test guy. Broussard's eye test guy. He wants Aaron Rodgers to be, screaming.
Definitely.
Now you're throwing math out the window. Who cares?
Energy.
Hey, so I'm going to offer you an alternative. Because the best thing you can have if you're on TV and you're a sports analyst, you want something named after you. So I have decided, it's not happening for me yet, I've decided to make my own quarterback proprietary stat. It's called the Wild Stat. Here's how you do it. It's easy to do at home. You can plug it into your computer. First one is the wow factor, like narrative-wise. The I is for insane plays. The L is for long throws. Minus D, dumb plays. Efficiency and success, you got to win. And once I put that all into the computer with Dusty, Russell Wilson came out. You want to talk about people who are overlooked? Russ had a great game against a great defense, and no one's talking about it. 78% completion percentage, 254 yards, 4 touchdowns, and the first recipient of the Wilds proprietary statistic. Congratulations, Russ. Unfortunately, instead of an award, you actually owe me money because it's proprietary and your name is attached to it, so I will be invoicing you.
So Russ owes Wilds money.
You made the acronym work.
Nick's an eye test guy.
Yes,
that was
nice.
In Bizarro World this morning on First Things First. Time for Nick and the committee to tell all. We're getting our first look at in-season NFL tiers. It's so good and it's so fun when we do it. Stick around. It is so next.
I'm going to tear this apart.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's Wednesday, middle of the road for days, top of the heat for tiers. Nick's got his newest NFL Tiers 2 unveil. Lots of factor in after week one. You got a little Mahomes magic. You got a little Dak versus Brady drama. You got some Stafford and Jameis lighting it up. I'm sure that led to some Dan Campbell-sized coffees for Nick and the committee last night.
Yeah.
Nick Wright, take us through your NFL tiers entering week two.
All right, some movement at the top and the bottom, and you're going to see it. I was overruled by the committee on a few of these teams. They said, Nick, you might be the founding chairman of the committee. However, you are not the only vote. So let's reveal first. Listen, the New York Giants are the worst team in the league. They're going to be the worst team in the league. They're officially on Rattler watch. They have no present and no future.
It's a total abject disaster for the Giants. They're the worst team in New York. Red alert. Listen, this is one of the places I was overruled. I said, hey, committee, can I show you some pictures of Trevor Lawrence's neck? They said, Nick, that's stupid. We don't know why you keep bringing it up. His team has lost 16 games in a row. They just got annihilated by the Texans. I'm like, I still like them. They said, shut up, Nick. They're on red alert. Everyone knows the Lions are on red alert, except for Wilds, who evidently thinks the last 90 seconds of that football game really mattered. And, of course, the Jets, and as long as the Bears are starting Dalton, they're on red alert. Next, show me the next group of teams. All right, going to get some hate mail. Happy, soon, sad. These are teams that won, but the committee does not believe in them. Eagles and Raiders fans, I know. Your teams played great. Yeah, the Eagles just had a massive victory over Atlanta. The Raiders, a huge victory on Monday Night Football. Don't believe in you. Apologies. The next four teams, no apologies. No one believes in you. Week one disasters. Titans, bad at everything. You're supposed to be the favorites in the division. The Washington. You already had the worst quarterback situation, one of them in the league. And then you have the only quarterback injury of week one. That's a disaster. The Patriots, you're fighting with the Dolphins to be the second best team in the AFC East. You lose your home game to the Dolphins. Can't happen. Falcons were the worst team in football this weekend. Vikings and Colts were the Vikings and the Colts. It's like, oh, that's about what we expected. All right, next. Next group of teams. So this is steady but unspectacular. Cowboys, Chargers, Dolphins. I think they did exactly what most of us thought they would do. Cowboys, good offense, but lose. Chargers, Herbert find a way to win. Dolphins, you know, some of us thought they would beat the Patriots in a defensive battle, which they did. Week one surprises. Committee said, this is where we got in a little bit of fights. Committee said, Nick, these are surprises to you, but maybe not to all of us. A lot of people thought the Saints would be good. I did not, but they were excellent. The Cardinals were spectacular on both sides of the ball, and the Steelers going to Buffalo and winning that game down double digits at halftime, they moved themselves up. Now the cream of the crop, the best teams in football, let's reveal it. We have some movement here as well. Fringe contenders. Seattle stays there, but they could move up. They were excellent. They're there with a win. Baltimore, on the other hand, stays there, but they're moving down, as is Buffalo. True contenders, some movement. Green Bay drops down to the true contender line. San Francisco and Tampa, with their wins, they stay where they are. Number one contenders moving up is the LA Rams. Great performance both sides of the ball. Stafford looked excellent. The Browns, they lost. Why didn't they move down? Well, they lost to a team everyone's going to lose to this year. They had a fourth quarter lead. The vast majority of teams won't be able to say that at Arrowhead. So the Browns don't get dinged at all. And then, of course, the 20-0 watch is officially on. If the Chiefs aren't going to lose that game, what game are they going to lose? So there it is. The committee's tears. There were some tears for me because I had to downgrade the Falcons. I had to downgrade the Jags. But the committee, at some point, I've got to take their opinions, you know, to heart. Broussard, you're shaking your head. You think I should have just gone with all my gut, ignored the committee? I agree. But you love this. This is perfect. Tell me.
All right, look, buckle up. All right, we're going to be here a while. Wilds, go get some coffee. We're going to be here a while.
Okay.
All right, number one. Jackson, look, I get it, Nick, that Jacksonville being on red alert, that's no compliment, all right? But I got to say, they were a week one disaster. I guess that's higher, but that describes them perfectly. This was a disaster. You lose to Tyrod Taylor and the worst team in the NFL, you get destroyed? Come on, that's week one disaster. Then New England. How in the world is New England a week one disaster? They lost by a point to a 10-win team. The rookie quarterback was spectacular, 281 yards. He broke the legendary Rick Myers record for rookie debuts in terms of efficiency. Wow. I mean, Mac Jones was great. There is no way that was a disaster. You know what was a disaster, though? Your Baltimore Ravens. How in the world are they on the fringe of contention? You know, they're on the fringe of falling apart. All right, literally, everybody's getting injured, including one of their offensive linemen on the line that couldn't protect Lamar anyway. So drop them. Now let's get to the big boys. The continued disrespect for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's just over the line, Nick. I'm sorry. Cleveland lost. Cleveland's 0-1. How in the world are they ahead of the Buccaneers? When you sat on this TV show and you said what? Baker Mayfield cannot get it done in the clutch. You know who can get it done in the clutch? That. Tom Brady. So switch those two. You switch those two. The Rams, how in the world do the Rams leapfrog the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The Buccaneers beat a team that we both think's going to make the playoffs. And the Rams beat a hapless Bears team that has no identity, has a quarterback controversy, doesn't know what it wants to do. The coach is on the hot seat. Come on, man. The committee,
okay. All right.
They need to rethink this.
Yeah.
They need to rethink this now.
All right, so your real beef is with the Bucs, and you seem to have, you know, an issue with the fact that an 0-1 team would be ahead of a 1-0 team. I would suggest...
Yes.
To, you know, soothe your soul, you go to CBSSportsLine.com or an AOL homepage where they sort things by record. That's called a standings. This is a tiers. This is more of a power rankings.
Yikes.
So we're not just going to have 1-0. The 16-1-0 teams are up top. The 16-0-1 teams are on the bottom. There is some nuance. That's first of all. Second of all, you are lying to yourself if you do not admit the Tampa defense worried you a bit. A defense that has a lot of older players on that D-line, like Sue and JPP, that has some question marks in the secondary and suffered an injury in that secondary, the weakest part of the team, that watching Dak in his first game in 10.5 months dice them up, watching CeeDee Lamb look like Jerry Rice, that didn't concern you a bit. I didn't move the Bucs down. I just kept them where they are. Now, as far as Baltimore, just quickly, there is some element of we are not going to overreact. You are overreacting to week one losses with Baltimore and somewhat with Buffalo. We want to properly react, and so that's why they don't get dinged terribly. But your real issue is that I'm not, you know, worshiping at the altar of the Tampa Bay Bucs. I understand that's, you know, Chris Broussard growing up, split jersey, Clippers one side, Tampa Bay Bucs the other. It's your lifelong team. I understand this is close to home for you, but I think the committee nailed this personally, Wilds. I think the committee nailed it.
Oh, boy.
What's your issue, Wilds?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I always find the committee quite fondly. I always wish I would be on the committee one day. But I would like to make a petition for one team that is near and dear to my heart and Ulysses' heart, fresh from Foxborough, with a reason why the Patriots should be moving up your power rankings. Broussard touched on it. I just want to dig in a little bit for the following reasons contained herein. Henceforth, I don't have a paper. I just have my computer.
Henceforth.
Today. Reason number one, historic Mac Jones. As Broussard mentioned, highest completion percentage by a rookie as week one starter in history. Did New England find their future franchise quarterback? I would say yay. Reason number two, loss anomaly. Yes, we lost. We get it. It's the most penalties we've had in 22 games. We had won 47 games in a row. Yes, 47 games in a row when having the ball for 36 minutes. We hadn't lost since week 8 in 2000. Will that happen again? No. We lost multiple fumbles for the first time in 46 games. Will that happen? No. I could see if this was a trend. This was not. It was just a random anomaly. And finally, the future is bright. You might say, how can that be true? You lost week one. Are you talking about Mac Jones? No. I'm talking about Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time. Occasionally stumbles out of the gate. Occasionally we'll go up and get trounced like we did in Buffalo. And you know what happens when the Patriots lose week one? Oh my heavens. Oh, Ulysses, do you see this graphic? Super Bowl champ. No, they took the graphic off. Four Super Bowl champs and a Super Bowl appearance. So am I worried? No. Yeah. Is Belichick worried? No. So for that reason, I would like you to move the Patriots up the tiers. Good day.
Okay.
That's a convincing argument.
So except it's not at all, because it ignores this factor. You were at home against the team that you are going to be competing with for the final AFC playoff spot, and you lost. One could argue, if we were doing leverage points of most important games on the schedule, the home game against
Week
the
one?
Dolphins is the most... Well, I'm saying, regardless of which week it's in, if we're putting a value on games you need to have, week one, set that part aside, at home against a team you're neck and neck with, is one you need. And one other thing, because I have on this show and on all the shows, we've just been, oh, rookie quarterbacks. I mean, there was in week one, there was Mac Jones, and there was everybody else. He's so smart. He's so efficient. Did so many things well en route to scoring 16 points and one touchdown. He also did this. And for a guy who's not going to be spectacular, but has to know not to make the dumb play, this right here is, what's the word for that? Not great. The old, I'm going to spike the ball backwards minutes into the game. This was one of the Patriot fumbles. Luckily, they recovered it. That is not exactly what I want from my game manager quarterback. The, oh, no, what do I do? Throw it away. That's a bad play in rugby, much less the NFL. So, no, the Patriots will not be moving up with a divisional loss where they score 16 points. It won't happen. Ulysses know it shouldn't. Ulysses wouldn't have made that play. Ulysses would have been like, yeah, I got to take the sack. Mac Jones is like, hey, take this ball. Just a terrible play. Just a terrible, terrible play, Jenna.
All right. Well, LeVar Arrington is going to join us to really decide if this is as terrible a play as Nick thinks it is. We're going to get to his gripes with your tears in just a bit. We got to talk some Justin Fields right now, though. Will Matt Nagy be making a big mistake continuing to start Andy Dalton over the rookie? We discuss next, first things first. Back here with former Pro Bowl linebacker LeVar Arrington. Oh, it's good to have you, LeVar. Good morning. We got lots to talk to you about. We will start, good morning, with some Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. Fox Bet Sportsbook has set the over-under for Fields' first start at 3.5 weeks into the season. We got a small glimpse in week one. Fields played 5 snaps, but we saw a couple of moments of what could be, including his touchdown run near the goal line. So, LeVar, do the Bears need to start Justin Fields Sunday against the Bengals to get themselves on track?
I think they have to start him. And I don't think it's just to get them back on track. I think it's to get them into their future. In terms of looking at Andy Dalton, you know what you're going to get. You saw it play out once more again on Sunday against the 49ers. Is it the 49ers? Did I mess up the teams? I think it was. It wasn't the 49ers.
Against the Rams. Against the Rams.
Excuse me. I'm mixing my teams up. I knew it was a West Coast team. Anyway, it played out the way that we thought it would play out, which was it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And looking at the team, they're a better team when Justin Fields is on the field. So don't judge me for getting the team wrong. I saw the guy that was behind the center. And it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And again, when Justin Fields got into the game, I thought it was they moved the ball. It seemed like there was more energy. Why wait? This Bears team needs to win. Well, they need a shot in the arm, and that's why you drafted them, Nick. Why wait?
Of course. There are only two people in the world, it would appear, that think Andy Dalton should be starting. Matt Nagy and Chris Collinsworth. Because Collinsworth gave a nice 90-minute dissertation about why the Bears are getting this right, while all of us watched them get it wrong. It went as poorly as it could have gone. Dalton had the worst game of any quarterback in football this week, not named Aaron Rodgers. The first drive of their season, after an explosive kick return, after a good play by Fields, after a big play down the field, how does it end? Dalton picking the end zone. Dalton has a strip sack in the game. Dalton was Andy Dalton. It is baffling that this is a hill the Bears want to die on. You know who knows they shouldn't? Their own players. Show one of their big offseason acquisitions. His quote, courtesy of Adam Hoge. Marquise Goodwin on the Bears approach against Jalen Ramsey. Unique player, all-pro, pro bowler, instinctive, especially in short spaces. And us not running past 10 yards... That fell right into his hands, I feel like. Oh, well, is that an exaggeration? Well, now, courtesy of Danny Parkins and Next Gen Stats, let's show Andy Dalton's spray chart. One pass went more than 15 yards in the air, and it was picked off. Like, what are we doing here? It's indefensible, and it's rare that everyone agrees on something. And sometimes it's like, oh... If everyone thinks I'm wrong, that means I'm doing something right. You hear that on Twitter. When both sides say I'm an idiot, that means I'm right where I need to be. Or you're an idiot. That's the other option. The other option is everyone thinks you're wrong because you're wrong.
Quack.
And I don't understand it, Broussard, why they're treating Dalton like he has earned this with his long tenure with them. He got there 6 months ago. So I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Look, I was on board with starting Andy Dalton in week one. All right, I thought he deserved a shot and he could keep the position until he played poorly or Fields took it from him. Well, he played poorly. You just spelled it out, Nick. He was horrible, so there's nothing to wait for now. And I want to give Nagy credit. He obviously was in Kansas City as the OC when Pat Mahomes learned as the understudy to Alex Smith for a year. And that's been what they've tried to do, right? He's viewing it like, just like Mahomes, a year on the bench for Justin Fields will be great for him, and then we'll unleash him on the world next year. And I think that that is actually putting Fields' future ahead of Nagy. So I give him credit because, to me, the best excuse for them to lose is, hey, we had a rookie quarterback, right? So if you start Fields right away, you lose a lot of games, Nagy can say to management or ownership, we had a rookie. We got to get at least another year with him before you can really judge what we're doing. So I give him credit for, I believe, putting Fields' future ahead of his own, but it's time. And this is not the Patrick Mahomes thing anyway, because Mahomes didn't play at all in the first 15 games. All right, Mahomes didn't have the college career even that Justin Fields had, and Alex Smith is much better than Andy Dalton. All right,
so better, exactly.
Mahomes wasn't getting thrown in for cameos here every few series with Alex Smith. So you've scrapped the Mahomes plan already, so just go ahead and start Justin Fields. You're playing the Bengals. That's a good team for him to start against. You might even get a win. So, Aunt Wilds, it's time. It's time.
Yeah. So the other weird thing that's happening is that Andy Dalton, surprise, surprise, used to play for the Bengals. So if you lose to Andy Dalton's replacement, the guy that they drafted to replace Andy Dalton, it just looks bizarre. I don't know how you go to your coach and be like, yeah, who beat us? Like Joe Burrow, like, oh, he replaced Andy Dalton, who we started. To me, that makes zero sense just narrative-wise. This is an odd story. LeVar, I want to touch on something also that Chris said about the cameos. So we saw a lot of guys getting snaps. Trey Lance got some snaps. Justin Fields got some snaps. Marcus Mariota got some snaps. Jacoby Brissett got some snaps. So do you think that a way to meet in the middle on this, if they're kind of dug in, is take Justin Fields snaps from 2 to 10 or 15? Or do you think it's more of an all or nothing thing?
Well, here's what's interesting, Wilds. They got rid of Gardner Minshew. They got rid of Cam Newton. So while you have guys who are taking snaps behind guys that they were competing against, they got rid of other guys in other places. I would have to lean on the side. And listen, I'm not one to take money out of somebody's pocket. So I'm not saying this because I'm against Andy Dalton. I don't know the man, never met him a day in my life. But if I'm just being critical and being sensible about the situation, Andy Dalton, it should have been on the scrap heap. If a Cam Newton or Gardner Minshew is on the scrap heap or the trading block, right? So really, in reality here, you're talking about a Bengals team. This is a winnable game for the Bears, right? But then you go into another game. You go after the Bears and, the Browns. Then you have the Browns. After the Bengals, right? You have the Browns. That's going to be a very tough game for them. The Browns, even in a loss, are a good team. All right. Then you get the Lions, the Detroit Lions. That's a winnable game. You got two winnable games. You got the Bengals this week, and you get an opportunity to go against the Detroit Lions. And after that, you have the Raiders, Green Bay, and the Bucks. I don't see that being a stretch where I'm going to feel confident throwing Justin Fields into one of those matchup and those mixes. Why not get him in right now in a Bengals game? I could care less about the sentimental value of giving Dalton the opportunity to play against his former team. Get Justin Fields ready in a game like this. get him a small win so he can get smaller wins and move towards getting confidence for those bigger games. Because going into those bigger games with an Andy Dalton, you've already sealed your fate in terms of what you're going to be in those games. I just think that it's already pronounced what Andy Dalton is going to be, Nick.
And the Alex Smith stuff is going to drive me nuts. That's my team. Alex Smith had taken that team to the playoffs three times in the previous 4 years. He was coming off a double-digit win season, and Mahomes was far rawer coming out of a far less prestigious program than Justin Fields. And Alex Smith is a way better player than Andy Dalton. And by the way, it was a mistake. They should have gone to Mahomes midway through the year. They might not have had Marcus Mariota march into Arrowhead and beat Alex Smith and the Chiefs because they scored 0 second half points. So it's not a comparable situation. And even if it was, I would have hoped Nagy would have learned from the mistake. But at least with Alex Smith, there was the personal aspect of we owe it to him. He's been here with us for years. He has won games for us. He's been a great or a very good player for us. That part of it. None of that exists with Andy Dalton. You know what they owe Andy Dalton? $10 million. They'll pay him. Good for him. Good for them. They owe their fans, who have not had a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman when their grandparents were children, to watch Justin Fields play. Not watch Andy Dalton throw red zone picks for no reason at all. It's indefensible. It's just indefensible.
All right, well, if there's a quarterback controversy in Chicago, there is none in Green Bay, despite how Aaron Rodgers played last week. Aaron Rodgers did some talking about the disaster that was week one. We're going to share some of his comments with you next. First things first. Saturday on Fox, it's a fight to keep pace in the wild card standings. We are winding down. I love this. Bryce Harper and the Phillies taking on Pete Alonso and the Mets, or in the NL Central, leading Brewers hosting the Cubs. Check, check, check it out. Only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. It's going to be a fun weekend. Talking some Aaron Rodgers and the Packers now. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers coming off just a terrible season opening loss to the Saints this past weekend. The reigning MVP only managed 133 passing yards. He tossed two picks last week. Then he sat down for his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Talked about the team's disastrous week one performance. Take a listen.
Is there any reason for any Packers fans to think anything differently or worry about anything? You have the utmost confidence in this team, this roster, and yourself still, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's why I'm back. You know, I love this, love the team, feel good about everything that we've done in the offseason, training camp. You know, I feel like, it was solid. We had good practices. I know that, you know, a game like that allows all these speculation to come into play. Should we have played in the preseason? You know, should we have done this? Should we have done that? And we got to deal with it because we just got our asses whooped. That's fine. You know, but, you know, what's going to happen down the line is going to happen. And we know how this thing goes. It's a cycle. And right now we're taking on the chin, which we should. And pretty soon it'll be flipped. So.
Hell yeah!
But me personally, I'm doing great. You know, I'm confident and happy and excited and love these guys. Competitor, like I said, frustrated about my performance and our performance. But this game is about how you respond to negativity, usually more than how you're hailed for your successes.
All right, Chris Broussard, what do you make of what Aaron Rodgers had to say there?
All right, Jenna, what he said was fine. What he said was right. If I had just gotten blasted in week one, I want to hear my leader. I want to hear my quarterback say, look, it's just week one. It's just one game. We got all season. We'll be fine. I want to hear him say, we'll learn from our mistakes. I want to hear him say, we will show what we're made of by the way we respond to this adversity. All that's good. But I've been married, guys, for more than a quarter of a century. All right. And in my 26 years of marriage, I have learned that is not always what you say, but how you say it. And I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers, and this not just yesterday, this is not just training camp. This is really a long time coming. I think sometimes Aaron Rodgers is too collected. He's too nonchalant. He's too unbothered. I need more fire. I need more energy. I need more life, more urgency. All right? He's got a light. And I don't want him ranting and raving, but you can say something with a little more fire. And I think this is one of those intangibles that he lacks that has cost his team at points in the big moments, because your team takes on the personality, Nick, of your quarterback or your leader, and sometimes they're just too cool, too nonchalant. I need a little more life, Nick. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, yeah, so I understand what you're saying, but I also think it's important to be true to who you are. And what is true to Kevin Wilds is, I think Wilds totally disagrees. And Wilds has, you know, before Wilds was a big fancy television star, he led teams, not football teams, but teams of people. And Wilds, your leadership style was a lot like Rodgers's, right? You tried to be calm, yeah, the steady hand, tried to instill confidence.
No,
right?
I took wrong. It's just what you see in the morning meetings from old KW. I'm a mix of Jameis Winston and Tim Tebow. I promise you, we're going to get this segment, and we're never going to let it down. I promise you. And then you know what I do? We're on the Zoom. I eat a W. And that's what Broussard wants to see. Wants Aaron Rodgers make a W and just eat it up. Just devour it. Because that's the way you beat the Saints. Use Jameis' weapon right against him, like Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tyreek Hill. I totally disagree with you, Broussard. And I know I'm making a joke of it, but I'll throw it back to you. Don't you think that it reminds you a little bit of the other big star in Wisconsin when Giannis was going down and he didn't get too high, didn't get too low, stayed cool, calm, and collected, and ended up winning the championship? And when we were talking about it, we were like, you know what? I like that about him. He didn't get too fired up at all, even when he was like missing free throws. He stayed right here the whole time. Don't you think that his calmness is actually a recipe for success and not a detriment?
No, I think Giannis shows a little more fire, you know, both on the court and off the court. I think more than Aaron Rodgers. And again, we know how great Aaron Rodgers is. And I'm not saying this spells disaster or doom for the rest of the season. They're going to most likely have a great regular season, and so is he. But I'm just saying, when you get to those huge games, those NFC title games, it is the little things that make the difference. And you look at a Tom Brady, you look at a Joe Montana, they had the intangibles, and Rodgers doesn't lack them all, but I think this is one that he lacks, the ability to galvanize his teammates and get them fired up. And Wilds, listen, last year, he had one of the best seasons of his career, maybe the best season of his career. And what was it? Was he calm? Was he cool? No. He was angry. He was perturbed. He was ticked off that they drafted Jordan Love. And he goes out there, and Nick, he plays lights out. I just need a little more of that. That's all I'm saying.
He did. He might have been internally angry, but he was still just as calm and quiet and understated in his interviews and reminded you he won MVP. Like, that's who he's always been. Now, I understand the point, though, because Patrick Mahomes already has, and people can see him in their mind's eye right now, some iconic sideline moments in playoff games after a big play of marching up and down the sideline, screaming at guys. I remember they're down 24-0 to the Texans, scored one touchdown in their Super Bowl run a couple years ago, and he and Travis Kelce are both. It's like they split the sideline in half. Like, I got these guys, you get those guys. So I do think there is something to be said for that. But I also think we are a little results based on this, because when Rodgers did the R-E-L-A-X relax almost a decade ago, and then when he did it again a few years later, and they went on great winning streaks, we're like, see, steady hand worked. Here's the problem.
Yep.
No matter what his mindset is or his approach is, for the Packers this year, can we show the schedule? It can get late early. And you're going to see, after the Lions, they have the Niners and the Steelers, both of whom played excellent the first game of the year. But I want you to look to the middle column and to the right.
Arizona, Kansas City, Seattle, then the Rams. A few weeks later, Ravens, Browns. Point is this, they, of any team, need a good start. You're not going to find it in many teams. It's just the bad luck of, oh, we get the NFC West and we get the AFC North and our extra game is the Chiefs, where it's like, holy crap, we have a gauntlet. So if what was supposed to be a 5-1 start ends up being a 3-2 or 3-3 start, that could be a bit, I don't care what the you know, verbal approach is. That could just be from an X's and O's spot. They're struggling. They're fighting. And we all think they're going to win the division, and I think they will win the division. But there's a big difference between how many home games you have, are you going to be competing for a bye based on how you get started, because Arizona, Kansas City, Seattle, the Rams, that's a brutal stretch. And then you have Baltimore and Cleveland shortly thereafter. Like, that to me, Broussard, is almost bigger than anything he's saying. It's the reality of who they have coming up.
Well, no doubt, Nick. And look, I spoke to an ex-NFL player yesterday, a starting offensive lineman. He said if he was in the Packers locker room, he'd be upset with Rodgers, because you're wondering, after that offseason where you contemplated retirement, didn't want to come back to the team, are you detached? And so that game Sunday showed, is he detached? That interception that he threw, the long one, looked detached. So, Wilds, I've got to see Rodgers prove, and he will this Sunday. They got Detroit. But then the next couple games, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, that's
up.
When we'll see. Are you all in, Aaron, or are you detached?
Poor Detroit. Okay. I mean, everyone's crushing Detroit.
They showed some spark against the 49ers. Watch out. Not writing that one off.
Watch out. Oh, Wilds team, damn it, Cam.
No, they're going to. Aaron Rodgers will show up Sunday, and we're going to forget we had this conversation. Skip and Shannon are taking a turn, talking some LeBron. Could he be the next scoring king again? Undisputed starts right now.